Well, hello and welcome to the Pulse 2 Matchday Live audio boom feature. Because of Bradford City's away game against Coventry, we're doing the pre-match preparation to the Good Friday showdown at the Shea between Bradford and Halifax on the audio boom. And we're joined by Ross Peltier and Robbie Hunter-Paul. First of all, Ross, massive game this afternoon against Halifax at the Shea.
Yeah, it's a massive game, you know. After what happened, after the elation, and I think, you know, everyone will admit it was a bit of a stuttering performance against Fev. You know, the boys want to go out there, put some stuff right. You know, we've got a few changes in, you know, Matt starting, Liam Kirk coming in. You know, they want to stake their claim, and yeah, we're just looking at a big game today, local derby, and everyone wants to be involved.
And when you look at Halifax, they've got that momentum after that impressive win against London on Thursday evening, the beat Super League side, the London Broncos, and that was without Scott Morrell and a whole host of players that are currently out injured.
Yeah, you know, but they've got James Woodburn Hall, you know, fellow Jamaican international, you know, played halfback for us when we beat America, and, you know, he's class, really. He's a running threat, he's a ball player, you know, he's a big lad as well. He's about the same size as a front rower, so, you know, he's a threat in all senses, so, you know, they're going to go well. Bob Fairbank back, you know, Dan Fleming, Ben Kavner, you know, they've got a big pack, a mobile pack as well, and yeah, I think we're going to be challenged across the park, and you know, it's a real big game, big 2 points. It could be what you call a 4-pointer, because, you know, we're a level on points right now, so the winner of this game, you know, gets our little edge in front.
And obviously, with it being a top 5 playoff and Bradford 6, Halifax 7, come the end of the championship season, and you comb over all the results, this could have a huge say in who actually gets in the top 5.
Yeah, it could be massive, you know, and I think John set out from the off over this Easter period, you know, he wants 4 wins, and, you know, if we get these 4 wins, it'll stand us in real good stead. So, yeah, we're looking to get a win, and then we're going to Barrow and Rochdale, you know, we get past them too, then, you know, we're looking in real good position after this Easter period. So, yeah, you know, the boys know nothing short of a win today.
How much does last week take out of you emotionally? Because obviously, I don't think I've ever seen a game like that. You know, there's 10 minutes left, you're down by 18 points, and somehow you've got that self-belief, that character, that desire to turn it around, take it to Golden Point, and Jordan Lilly's 40-metre drop goal sends you into the next round of the draw.
I think it'll be more taxing on Fev, really. I think with us, you know, we know we didn't play well. We know we didn't play well over the full 80 minutes. You know, the last 15, we came alive. And it just shows, you know, when things aren't going our way, there's always time to fix it. And I think it's given us a confidence boost. And, you know, we know what we need to fix up. But we know, even if things aren't going our way, whatever the score difference, we're always in it. So, you know, I think it'll just give us a massive boost.
Well, we've got Robbie Hunter-Paul, Bradford Northern, Bradford Bulls legend. He has the Robbie Hunter-Paul show on Pulse 2 on a Wednesday, 6 till 7. Robbie, what do you make of the championship and this game at the Shea on Friday?
Well, thank you for the plug, Mick. I've got to say this. Local derby matches are local derby matches, and 13 years that I played at the Bradford Bulls, I was just thinking to myself, you know, we were talking about on the show this week that the Leeds derby was obviously the big one that everyone used to celebrate, but actually from an emotional point of view, especially when it comes to the players and the Bradford Northern team that I first came into, it had the Fairbank brothers in it, and it had a Paul Dixon, you know, all guys that live over in Halifax. And even a little bit further on, when we had Stuart Fielding and his brother James, who live in Halifax, well brought up, that all become a part of it. Legendary, the games against Halifax. Incredible intensity in the games themselves. So physical. I remember one game I had my ribs broken, and the ribs went into my lung, collapsed the lung. I nearly died. But that's the intensity of those games. Absolutely incredible. And none more so than this week. There's so much to play for. And, you know, today's game, you just got to think, there's two games to win this weekend, Friday, Monday. If you don't win today, you're playing catch-up. If you win today, you're on the front foot. So it's so important, the Friday evening games, the Friday games. They're so important to make sure that you can start this Easter period, this incredibly hard, difficult, psychologically hard Easter period that the players have to go through. It's so important to get the win on as getting it underway.
How does this weekend look for you, Ross? Because obviously, I bet it looks totally different to when Robbie was a player, or will it be similar? The Easter period. It'd be interesting to see how it is in contrast.
In what sense?
Let's start now, because we're on Wednesday. Yeah. So talk us through between now and game day against Barrow on Monday.
Oh, between then, well, yeah, well, we'll play. You know, we've been in yesterday, Tuesday. We had about half an hour on the field, a lot of video over the Fev game. You know, then the 19-man squad will be at Oddsall tomorrow afternoon. You know, we'll have a quick run through team meeting. We'll have dinner together as a team, and then we're going to Friday. I think we've got an injury clinic for the boys. You know, if anyone's got a knock or anybody struggling with out there, coming Saturday, run through again Sunday, play Monday, and then I think we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then we'll be back in Thursday, run through Saturday. So it's, you know, we've got to stay light on his feet, and we've just got to manage everyone's, you know, we've got to manage everyone really. So, yeah, not too taxing as in training-wise, but obviously game-wise takes it out of everybody.
Yeah, similar process. That's very similar to when we were playing. You got to stay light on the feet. So this week, probably not too taxing. Obviously, the guys had the emotionally draining win, and it probably was a physically draining win on the weekend as well, to have to come from behind. The game's always easier if you put your foot down on the throat in the first half and then you roll the second half out, but that's not what Sunday's game against Featherstone was like. It was, we're scrapping and fighting for the entire game until we can get it right, which they did in the last 15 minutes, and then you get the momentum. With that, though, becomes the toll of the emotional fallout as well, which can be often more exhausting than the physical fallout. But this week is generally kept pretty light. And then again, if you're a bit busted, you normally have what we used to have back in the day was nothing on the Saturday. You had the day free, just physio session in the morning, but everyone had to be in. And then come the Sunday, you just had a captain's knock, where you just get together and you go through your preparation for the game the following day on the Monday. So everything was kept light. And then again for the following week, to make sure, you know, because Ross has spoken about the four-game period. So the four games started last week because they're impacting, you know, they have an impact on the Easter period. You have to stay light and make sure that the guys get as much energy back as they can. So, and it doesn't help that you've got the emotional investment that you've got with the local derby as well. So it's just like it adds that extra bit of spice to it. But you know what? As a guy that's been retired for 9 years, yeah, great. They get to deal with that, worry about it. I love the emotion of it. That's why I turn up to be a rugby fan. I just want that excitement. I want that jeopardy. I want that anything can happen. I do feel for the players. It is such an incredibly tough, and this we're nearly a decade on from when I retired. The game has sped up so much. Their attention to detail, the science that they apply to it all, is sped up. Sped the game up so much that, you know, I really take my hat off to these guys. And but stuff them, you know, just get out there and entertain us. You're just pieces of meat. That's all you are. Entertain us. That's why we pay our money and pay your wages.
Does the Challenge Cup draw that took place on Monday evening, Ross, a massive game, arguably the biggest derby in West Yorkshire's back? Leeds will come to Oddsall on Saturday the 11th of May, a game that's going to be on the BBC. Robbie will be pitch side.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie will be putting the microphone in you. Yeah. Is that going to guard against any complacency, Ross? Because everybody's going to want to play in that game.
Yeah, you know, there's already a culture in the club of, you know, your shirt's not safe. You've got to perform. You've got to do your job. And, everyone's got one eye on that fixture, but one eye on it in a good way, as in they're going to hit every fixture as they want to perform the best. You know, there's no resting. I've seen that fixture. You know, I've dreamed about playing in a Bradford Leeds derby, and here's my opportunity. And, you know, I'm looking at it and thinking, right, I need a big game against Halifax. I need to show John, you know, I'm back. I'm at the form I should be, you know, my fitness levels are where they're at, and I think that's across the board. All the boys are buzzing, everybody's saying they want to be playing in it, you know. Training, fans might not know, but, you know, training on a Tuesday and Thursday, you know, where the squad plays against, you know, the lads who aren't playing, it's been getting really intense. There's been some bust eyes, there's been some bust nose, there's been some big shots thrown about because everybody wants a shirt, and it's got tough. So yeah, I think that's just going to step up even more, and everybody wants a shirt come that game.
Robbie, what?
Isn't that just music to your ears? As a Bulls fan, that's just music to my ears. I've been in that sort of intensity and that sort of cauldron, you know, when you're playing for the red, amber and black, and you've got that heartfeltness. It's just where everyone's just scrambling, and that's the way it should be. You should not feel safe in your jumper. You should have to think to yourself, I've got to earn the right every week. You know, when I was playing, I had Paul Deakin constantly nipping at my heels, Leon Price constantly nipping at my heels, and players before that. And you had to earn the right to pull on that jumper week in, week out. And, you know, I just... That's just music to my ears, that guys understand the magnitude, the importance of their game against the lead Rhinos, but also know that there's a few steps that they've got to go through, important, hugely important steps that they've got to go through to get into that game.
What was it like, Robbie, because you played in the great Bradford sides of the late 90s and, of course, the turn of the millennium. What was talk us through the mood like, you know, the first trip to Wembley in 96. What was the competition for places like then? As a player, because obviously from a young perspective, that was your first sort of big final. But as we say, Ross is sort of like, I class Ross as in the in-betweener, but for like Ethan Ryans, your Ross Oaks, your Rowan Milnes, Liam Kirks, you know, this game against Leeds is going to be massive. It is effectively the biggest game they've played in so far. Yeah. What's the mindset like from the Robbie Hunter Paul in 1996 to the Robbie Paul in 2005?
You know, I was really naive. So when we made the final, the semi-final against, when we beat Leeds in the semi-final at Gal Farm Stadium, or what was called McAlpine Stadium then. It's John Smith Stadium now.
Yeah.
It's been through the many sponsors. I'd never played in front of a bigger audience before, so 15,000 people turned up because there was only three sides to the stadium at that point. I'd never played, and it was magical. It was absolutely incredible. But I couldn't be overwhelmed because I'd never, ever experienced that. So I'd never even been to a game where there was that many people. So I didn't really know. Then you have the final itself. And the final, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. 80,000 people at the old Wembley. It just, you can't, it's hard to describe what that's like, because you can't hear each other. You can't, the atmosphere is so thick. It actually has a texture. You know, it's so thick. It is enough to make you think to yourself, though, is the most unforgettable experience you ever have. So euphoric and at the same time so frightening. And for those young players that are coming into this game, it's a similar type of thing. You walk out onto that field where you're used to seeing a few thousand people there, and then all of a sudden it's in excess of 10,000, and you think, this ain't no ordinary game. And it's absolutely brilliant. It does one of two things. It all depends upon your personality and your experience. It either makes you or it breaks you. And I've seen it break people. I've seen it break people in the game, but then I've also seen it help them become stronger players because it broke them in that game. But then you get other people where they just grab the bull by the horns, if you don't mind the pun, and they just embrace it, and they smear themselves and they lather themselves in it. And I think that's what the big fella next to me wants to do. He's the type of guy that loves a big occasion. He's got a big character, big personality. He's a big bloke as well. And he'll just, you know, he loves a big occasion. And I think that's what it's built for. It's made for. It's made for that. It's made to be exciting. And it's made for the opportunity for the big guns to come out and fire on all cylinders.
Ross, I'll put you on the spot. Is this going to be the biggest game that you have played in your professional career?
Oh, by far, you know. Like I said, you know, the Bradford Leeds derby, when there were like 24,000 there, I was a ball boy there watching that game from pitch side, and, you know, it's always been a dream of mine. Like I said to everyone, you know, if anybody knows me, I'm not a fan of Leeds, anything about Leeds in any aspect, you know. It'll be a big game, and, you know, like, I think my mindset and how I am, I just want to rise to that occasion, and, you know, that's what I thrive off, you know. This is the reason why I play the game, you know, to play in big games like this. And then also, I've got one eye on, you know, Leeds as well, you know, their pack, really. A lot of players I've played with, you know, Cam Smith, Mikhail Ledski, you know, them kind of players in there. And, you know, they're people I think, yeah, you know, I can hold it with them. I'm up there with them. So, you know, this is my, I'm all about proving myself, really, because I've had a lot of doubt.
Challenge. He's throwing down. He just ripped the gauntlet off and he's throwing it on the ground. He said, have some of that.
Nah, I'm a person, you know, I've had a lot of doubts in my time, and I think occasions like these are where I think I can, you know, show everybody my worth and prove what I'm all about. So, you know, I've got one eye on it. I'm looking forward to it.
And let's spare a thought for poor George Flanagan, Bradford born, coming towards the end of his career, suffered a broken thumb on Sunday against Featherstone. I've been watching his Instagram and I've been thinking in my mind, so what an absolute travesty.
That's 6 weeks?
Six to 8 weeks, he's told six, me. He's weeks. Been on the ward at the BRI.
Athletes heal quicker, George. they give you the 6 to 8 weeks speech, but you'll be back in 5 weeks. Bones, those sort of small bones, actually, though, he's getting a bit longer in the teeth, isn't he? No, you'll be back in 5 to 6 weeks. George has got to consciously think that and you'll be back playing. The boys are going to go through to the next round of the Challenge Cup anyway, so looking forward to coming back and playing in the quarters.
what's it been like though, George Ross? Have you seen him this week? I mean, he's going to do the commentary on Friday and Monday, so at least we're getting him off of the hospital ward and giving him a day pass out. But it, you know, coming towards the end of your career, you're missing out on the big one. It must be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it'd be heartbreaking. And for someone like George, you know, I've been a Bradford lad like myself, played in the academy at Bradford like myself, you know, something you always dream of, something either definitely dreamed of. And, you know, to have an injury like that right at that time, I think he put straight in group as soon as the draw were pulled. He were like, you know, he were fuming. But, you know, like, it'd be good to have him there at game day doing the radio and, you know, being involved. You know, just so I hope for him, but he'll be all right. He's a tough lad.
You've got to do the radio. He's got to earn his living, innit? Yeah. You can't just keep just...
Well, he can't dig roads right now, and that's what he does for council, so he can't be doing that for a bit.
To be honest, he was good when we had him on the show. He could string sentences together. That's important, sitting next to you, Mick, who give you a helping hand.
More importantly, we discussed this on the Robbie Hunter Paul show, it's not just about Bradford and Leeds and what happens on the field, it's what happens off the field, how the Bradford Bulls promote this game, what sort of crowd they get, because... let me tell you, if you're Robert Elston, this is a huge indicator of what Bradford bring to Super League.
It definitely is. And I think we've seen over the past, 2 to 3 years, whilst the Bulls have been in the lower division, what they can drum up. It's quite ridiculous, really, when you think about the amount of stadium records that they smashed in the Championship, smashed in League One. And just, you know, the Bulls fans have shown their true colours over probably the toughest period that the club seems to have been through. It's been through, 3 to 4 administrations, liquidations, and aviation that you can actually throw at it. And throughout that, Bulls fans have, you know, stayed stoic, supportive, and there's always been so much colour wherever they've gone. You know, it's almost been the rugby secondary sometimes. You know, like the Big Bash on the, you know, the Summer Bash weekends.
They're
just absolutely incredible. You remember the environment that they created for you guys, and then the performance that you guys put in. Look, if Chizzy had hadn't blown out his knee, I'm sure the Bulls would have won that game against Holker. And who knows what would have happened? You probably, from the momentum caused from that, I reckon you would have seen out the rest of the season and not been relegated to League One. But the important thing was in League One, then you go and smash all these records and show exactly what sort of environment, entertainment can be created when you have an audience. So, you know, the focus here needs to be less about the actual games itself and actually reminding people how special the sport is, how special the community of rugby league is, how special the occasion can be. And when you get that right, that's when people start turning up. You know, you start adding layers to it. Go out, have a really constructive pricing strategy. you know, consider throwing the doors open to all their local first schools, and purely and simply as a growth strategy for both clubs, and spread that across the intervening space between the two stadiums and all of the clubs in between. And you know, on the back of that, going out and targeting groups, re-engaging with the Bradford Bulls and Leeds Rhinos audiences that were there from yesteryear, you know, start drumming up, start replaying all these massive games. Leeds fans, Leeds club, the club of Leeds Rhinos, start putting on their social media all their old games of when they beat the Bulls. Bulls, start putting on the games when you beat Leeds Rhinos. Remind people about how wonderful this local derby can be and actually make it a real occasion.
Robbie, is there a particular Leeds Bradford game, your favourite one?
The sellout crowd, was it 24,020? We come from, it was an ebb and flow game, arm wrestle of a game. Michael Withers, with I think about a minute and a half to go, nails a drop kick from halfway. You know, anyone could do it, it was the ghost. Only the ghost could do that and pull it off in such fashion. Yeah, that had to be it. What an incredible day that was. Oh, don't get me wrong, Leeds Rhinos were Headingley was my favourite stadium to play at, mainly because from a Bradford point of view, we used to silence those three very busy stands, and the little stand at the end would just be rocking. But that was my favourite Leeds Bradford derby because it broke all Super League records. It was an absolute incredible occasion to be a part of, and the game could have gone either way. Both teams at that time, there was no out and out favorite for the game, and it was an incredible occasion. And to be a part of that team, it was an honor, you know, humbling. And when you look back on now, what a humbling experience it was, and great to be a part of.
I'm guessing you're going to, although you've not played in one, Ross, I'm guessing you're going to say being pitch side as a ball boy in 1999, the same game.
Yeah, that were it. You know, as a young lad, I was only little, and been at that game on pitch side was somewhat special. So yeah, that game there, I remember that one, and I remember a lot of them. You know, for the years I was a ball boy, so every single one of them was special to me. Yeah, now I get to play in one. Fingers crossed, if selected.
He's just chosen himself there. He's putting pressure on himself. Do you remember that? You remember that that kick that Stevie Mack put across that got us back into the game? Nathan McAvoy.
Now, the crossfield kick. I've not seen that in Super League until that moment.
Well, no, because it wasn't supposed to be. He miskicked it. It came off the side of his boot, did a flat trajectory. And, you know, Nathan McAvoy, so many times I played alongside him. He had with an open try line, a simple pass, he'd drop it. He plucked that one out of the air behind his head. You know, he came up with some of the most sensational plays that have defined the Bradford Bulls. If you remember the chip kick at the Murrayfield Challenge Cup final, where we finally broke that hoodoo after over 50 years and picked up the Challenge Cup after losing 97 and 96. And we're finally able to pick that trophy up, and that amazing chip kick that he did over the top of Houston Harris, and then that catch. It wasn't that he caught it above his head, he caught it behind his head. The ball was behind his head, and you know, Stevie Mack will try and claim that was exactly where he put it. And then he skewed it off the side. And it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. I'm so excited about the game, the Challenge Cup game coming up. I'm part of the BBC delivery team as I continue on with all my media whoring that I do out to the highest bidder. And I can't wait. I've just been talking because they normally get me to do this thing where I'll pick on a couple of players before the game. I'm just saying, If Ross does get chosen, he might have to offer me a couple of quid, so I'll make him famous. Yep. Or infamous.
It's almost going to bring a tear to the eye, isn't it, seeing Odsall full again? Because, I mean,
you know what's going to be crazy for me is that I can't go back into the changing rooms and get ready for the game. I wouldn't want to anyway. After the first tackle, I'm always like, yeah, that's why I retired.
And don't forget, you've got to stay impartial. I mean, I try
to be
impartial.
They keep saying that to me.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's going out the window for
me to go to. They invite me to be a pundit for New Zealand versus England. And I'm like, well, you've got to be impartial. I said, I can't. I'm a Kiwi. The only reason why you're inviting me is because I'm not impartial. So how can I? I'll have to do it in that sort of bone stuck in the throat type of way of being impartial. Yeah, you lose them.
And just finally, Ross, what a month coming up for the Bradford Bulls. Halifax on Good Friday. You've then got Barrow and Rochdale, exotic locations, squeezed in. But then it's the big one. Away to Lamport Stadium in Toronto.
Yeah.
Fly back on the Monday. You've then got the Bradford Leeds game, which we've talked about. And then the week after that, you've got the Summer Bash. What a time to be a player in 2019.
I know, what a time to come back. Timed it perfectly.
Was this the plan all
this
along?
This was a plan.
We'll miss all them cold afternoons in the mud at
I'm not Batley. About that. You know, you see outside, it's got to around 17 degrees today. So, you know, I'm back. Perfect timing. I don't deal with the cold, but nah, you know, it's great to have so many quality fixtures coming up. You know, Halifax game, and then we've got Halifax again soon. Toronto, which is a big one. I've never been over there. It'll be an experience, you know. It'd be good for me. I'm looking forward to it, to going over there. You know, I got family over there who are going to be coming to the game and watching. You know, my mum's been over to Toronto and watched them play over there. So, you know, it'd be good. It'd be good to go out there and play. I'm just excited for every game coming. You know, if you ask any of the lads have seen me at training, I'm like a new puppy. I'm just running around, enjoying loving life, being there, because I've been stuck on sideline that long, and it's just... You know, like you mentioned about the fans earlier for the Bradford Leeds game, you know, I've got a shout out Luke. I've been speaking to, they've raised over £1,000, you know, to make the Summer Bash an experience for the boys, you know, with banners. I don't know what they got.
I think they've bought 1,000 flags. They've got 1,000 flags.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
They've got all sorts, and that's the kind of stuff that inspires us. You know, that Summer Bash last time were amazing, and no one expected us to do anything. And you know, to lose by a point to OKR was something special with the squad we had, the young lads, and you know, that's the extra 10% they give us. That's the extra push they give us. And I think at the Leeds game, it's going to be amazing. I think at this Halifax game on Friday. You know, the rivalry between the fans. You know, I know a lot of these fans, and I know they hate each other a lot. And, you know, I remember back last year pre-season when they had the banner on Boxing Day talking about, you know, they're the bigger club in West Yorkshire and this and that, you know. I can't say my thoughts on it, but yeah, I can't wait.
It's like a red rag to a bull, eh?
It started already on Twitter, because obviously the draw took place Monday and all the Bulls fans are going crazy, the players are, and all the Halifax fans are tweeting, saying, hang on a second, you've got a game on Friday. Don't forget about us.
Yeah, no, well, no one...
But actually, that's the wrong thing they want to do. They want to just let them think about Leeds. Don't let them, creep up on the Bulls. I don't think that'll happen, though.
It will happen to the playing squad. You know, obviously the fans are gonna love that fixture, and they're excited for that fixture. And I seen on Twitter, actually, it made me laugh. I seen a lot of Bulls fans saying to him, "Well, why don't you promote your own game? Don't worry about us promoting Halifax. You promote it yourself, because you know they're having a dig at their attendances." But that's how it is. But hopefully, you know, Bradford take everybody.
Don't get mixed up in that, Ross.
Nah, I don't get mixed up in nothing. You know what I mean? I'm impartial as they come. So yeah, I'm excited for it.
You're the least impartial person I know. We're just sitting there going, "Yeah, I don't like anything from Leeds. I'm a Bradford boy. I don't like anything from Leeds. Don't like anything else if it's not from Bradford."
Well, you know, obviously, you know Leon very well. He's very much the same, you know. I think we're both cut from the same cloth. It's how it is.
Is that a Bradford thing? It's in your DNA.
Yeah, he's inbuilt in us, and, you know, that tribalism, I guess, especially people from Bradford.
This country is the most tribal country on the planet. You guys look at the rest of the world, like look down in New Zealand and you watch us all running around with grass skirts and throwing spears at each other, but you guys actually are so much more tribal. New Zealanders all think of themselves as New Zealanders. No, not you lot. I'm from Yorkshire, me. And then when you get into Yorkshire, I'm from Bradford, me. And then when you get to Bradford, I'm from Whipsey, me. And it's, you know, you get all the way down to the street. Oh, I live on the left side of the street. Well, no, I'm not. We don't talk to that lot. They're from the other side of the river. It's the same suburb, but they're from to the side of the river. The most tribal city, the most tribal country on the planet is English.
Some might say, Robbie, you retired at the right time, because obviously when you were a player, post 1997, when Paris obviously went bust, the furthest you went was down the M1, and you play in London. Paul Ross is now off to Toronto.
Well, actually,
Toulouse,
no, I can
Blackpool.
Correct you there. If you think about it, you remember 1997, we had the World Clubs.
Well, I did say post.
Catalans.
Yeah.
There was no Toronto. There was no.
No, you're right. You're right. But there's an element of that's cool. You know, like as a player, I got to admit, when I got older, when I was post 30, I hated traveling. I did. I just, like, you know, you become old and crutchety, don't you? And you like your bed, and you like the groove that you lie in your bed, and because it's your groove, you know. But you stay in hotels with some bloke that you know that you get put into a room with again, that you're just like so tired of seeing them, and the travel, you're tired, and you know, I just want my kids. I become that guy in the end. But before my 30s, man, I loved it. Going down, staying in this 5-star hotels with New Zealand, all the food you want, get up there. I used to eat too much. That was a problem. You know, you go into those nice hotels, big breakfast spread on. All you do is eat. I used to eat myself to death. I'd come back from there and the missus would go, oh, I thought you went to play in a test series and put on a few pounds. You know, the lifestyle, eh?
Well, some of the tales. I think it was before Christmas at Oddsall, when it was the get together and all the former players were back.
Dinner of the Decade, or
yeah,
the Double
Dinner
Decade.
Of the Decade. Yeah, some of the tales you actually said that night on the microphone with everybody.
Well,
there.
We can't share them on air.
We
though,
can't share
we?
Them on air, but
well, it was great. Though,
it
wasn't
was great.
We
you
know,
could
you
see
know
that
what?
Togetherness
we need,
of the,
we,
that
we
side.
Need to have another reason to bring it all back.
And that you can see it almost replicated here in 2019.
Look, this is where greatness is created. It's got nothing to do with having the best 17 people on the field. So I've been in squads that have the best 17, and it's not about that. It's about the best 17 that complement one another. Mm. You know, and I think sadly that's why we've seen Dane Chisholm leave the club, because there wasn't a marriage, you know, and the marriage not just got to be with the players. I'm not saying there was any problem with him and the other players, but the marriage has got to be with the backroom staff, it's got to be with the coaches. And the time where the Bulls have got it right is because everything's worked. Everyone's understood their place, everyone's worked hard to compliment one another, but everyone automatically complimented each other as well. You know, it was the personalities balance was correct. And The nucleus of that successful legacy that we had, if you couldn't come in and add, then it was best for you and it was best for the nucleus of the team to separate. And that's, again, moving back though, for success to happen, and you're talking about these guys and they've got such a unity together. You know, a lot of them went through some really tough stuff a couple of years ago, and they were doing soul searching individually, and they were doing soul searching collectively as a group. There were a couple of changes with coaches, new coaching staff coming in, new owners coming in, new backroom staff coming in, new administration coming in and out, and that's not an easy thing to deal with. There's been some stability over the last 2 years, which is what a club needs. The guys at the top table at the Bradford Bulls, they've worked their backsides off to create stability with John and the team, and the staff will stop, the fans and all the different stakeholders of the group, and they've got to be complimented for that. And the fruits of that labour is seeing what these guys are going through now. When you have a stable board, when you have a stable administration, you then start to enjoy having a stable team, and John gets to be able to add and take away elements that make the team better and better and refined and better. And I think that's what you're alluding to. You're seeing there's a oneness that has not been seen in the club for a long, long time. And I think compliments to everyone involved.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on this special Pulse 2 pre-match preview. Mm. I know we've deviated a little bit talking a bit about Leeds, but it is Bradford against Halifax, and there'll be me and George Flanagan live at the Share. Again, that's being billed as the Showdown at the Share from 3 o'clock, once Coventry City against Bradford City has finished. Hopefully, Bradford City can get a point to avoid relegation.
I doubt it.
Go on, City.
Come on, Ross.
Listen, as much as I love Bradford City, it's been one of them years.
He's one of those things that he's saying it, but his heart's breaking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Robbie, and hopefully it is 2 points against Halifax.
Come on, you Bulls. Yep.